So this is the Pioneers of the Fringe project, and we're doing an interview. Who am I interviewing today?
Kathy Zanetic.
And what's your address, Kathy?
336 Spring Jelly Road, Austral.
And that's where we are.
2179.
2179. And it's the 17th of May.
That's correct.
So we're going to be focusing on you, but also you're going to be talking on behalf of your mother, who's now deceased. So you're going to be sort of talking a bit about her history as well. So, but what we might do first is talk about what is your real name? You mentioned something to me earlier. You might want to talk about how that piece you just talked about earlier about Catalina, isn't it?
Catalina. Well, that became about because usually the Croatian people always name a child after their grandparents. But this lady, she'd been in Australia for a little while and learned a little bit of the Australian. And she said that, why don't we make it Australian instead of Croatian? So they said it was supposed to be Kathleen. And on the birth certificate, because the way they write things, pronounce things, that's the way they write them. And what they've done, they've put Catalina. That's how they've spelled Kathleen. And that's how that became about. So I'm Catalina. But I have her on my passport, Catalina, because that's on my birth certificate. And I've never changed it. I have changed it on my licence and a bit of paperwork like that, but not...
What do your community call you?
Oh, they still call me Kata, Kathy. That's the Croatian community. Mostly Kathy, the Australian people. But the Croatians will still use the old. And a lot of them will call me Mala Kata, which is little, or Catalina, little Catalina, because my mother was Kata. So I became Mala Kata. And I've remained Mala Kata, even though my mother's passed away nearly 9 years, they still call me Mala Kata.
So how old were you when you migrated to Australia?
I was born here. I am a Crown Street baby.
So can you just tell me your date of birth?
12th of the 2nd, 1940.
So can you talk about your mother's migration story? How did she come to migrate to Australia? First of all, your mother's full name and your father's full name.
Well, my mother's name, do you want a maiden name?
Yes.
Kata Ostoja. And my father was Ivan Sardelic. So they were Antula. They all had a nickname over there. So it was Ivan Sardelic Antula. And that's how they distinguished the families. They didn't live very far from each other. They didn't live very far. But they didn't know each other. But my mother knew his sisters, but didn't know him at all. And he was looking for a wife. He came to Australia in 1926. Actually, I have a letter that was written to his father after he left, well, it was former Yugoslavia then, it was Yugoslavia. I have a letter that he wrote to his father. And how that came about is quite interesting because when I was overseas, my cousin was looking for some paperwork and come across the letter. So it's quite interesting. I will show it to you after. And he wanted a wife. He came out and he was working up in Cairns, cutting cane. And
do you know where in Cairns?
Oh, I think it would have been in Mossman or maybe Tully. Tully, I think it could have been Tully, somewhere there. And then he came down here and he bought some land in Cabramatta on John's Road. I couldn't tell you whether it was 2 acres, 3 acres, 5 acres or whatever, but there was a lot of Yugoslav people there then. and a lot of them moved all around here. And so from there, he found his wife. Well, he didn't find his wife then, but his father found Mum. And she was an orphan, really, because her father died in the war. She was about two. And her mother had to go into Split to work as a nurse to support her. But as they had over there, there was about three or four brothers, and they all live in the same house. One came to Australia, but there was one single one. He wasn't married, and he took care of Mum, and he always stuck up for Mum. And he said to her, when she told him that, you know, she'd got this information and she was asked, you know, would she like to go to Australia and marry Ivan? And she spoke to her uncle about it. And he said to her, he said, look, I'm not going to tell you not to go. I'm not going to tell you to stay or whatever. Just telling you this, things are looming, things don't look good, there could be a war. And he said, while I'm alive, you will be very well taken care of. But when I die, I don't know what's going to happen. So she decided to come over. And when she came on the boat, she had to have somebody meet her, and he met her.
So her to-be husband met her.
Yes.
You don't know what boat she came over on?
Oh, she used to talk about it, but I've forgotten.
We can find
I that. Think it could have been the last or the second last boat. Could probably ask Benny Millett, because he came on the same boat. Would he have told you that?
Yeah, I can't recall, but I can check.
Yeah.
What year was that?
1939, in March.
And just getting back to the letter, I'm sorry, your father wrote to your grandfather about getting a bride? Was that what the letter
Yes,
was?
Well, he wrote to his father. He wrote to his father about getting a bride.
Okay. So she arrived, and now this is a fantastic, you've told me briefly about her arrival, if you don't mind. So your father, Ivan, met your mother at the wharf at
yes.
Circular
Yeah, that's correct.
You want to just talk about the next week?
Well, I can't tell you much about what happened, but she brought him home, or he brought her home, and to Cabramatta, and that was on a Thursday. That was the 23rd of March. 1939, and being a Thursday, then Friday they went into the city, and they went to Anthony Horden's. They bought her a bridal dress. Saturday they got married, and from then on there was no honeymoon, they just went to pick tomatoes the next day, Sunday.
What do you recall about that at Cabramatta? How did Cabramatta look? How big was the farm?
Well, they were all farms around there. I was very small when I came out here. I would have been probably 18 months or maybe 2 years, I don't know. But I know they had farms there. Benny Millett's parents lived next door. The Sitaras, have you heard of the Sitaras? They're up at Bringelly. They had a farm very close by. There was Vitsilich. They had, and all of them have moved away from there.
Yeah, so can you name some of the families at Cabramatta? So it was it a Croatian hub?
Oh, well, it was a Croatian. There was no club or anything.
Was it a hub of Croatian
people? Yes, yes. There was a lot of them around there. There was Marusics. There was Salasiches. There was Vitsilich. Or Sardlich. We were Sardlich. Millett. else did Mum talk about? I can't think. But after about a week and a half, 2 weeks, she was living in Cabramatta, she said, Ivan, she said, why aren't there any church bells? I haven't heard any church bells since I've been here, because back home there was church bells.
Hang on. That's really loud.
That's my fridge.
Is that coming from the fridge?
I'd say so.
Okay, do you want to just repeat that again? The sound's gone. You're talking about your mother for the week and a half, church
bells. Yeah, she wanted to know where the church bells were, because back in Croatia, you know, it's a very tight community with 12,000 people there, and the church bells rings. Like, you know, they ring for mass, they ring when somebody dies, there's a different sound. She never heard any of that. And he said to her, he said, wait till you're here for a little while longer and you'll forget all about that. Because he said, if you wait to hear that, you'll never hear it. And, you know, she was quite amazed. And then one day he said to her, you know what? He said, we'll work here for 10 years and then we'll go back home. We'll get some money together and we'll go home, back to Croatia. And she thought to herself, 10 years? She said, how am I going to put up with 10 years? And you know how long she stayed here for? Over 60. And she loved it. And it became her country.
Well, do you remember your mother's date of birth?
Yes, 12th of the 2nd, 1915.
So if we do our maths, she was 24 when she came out here. Now, do you remember, what else do you remember her talking about? How, do you know how big their farm was and how many tomatoes they grew in it?
Oh, I think it would have been 4,000 or 5,000. It wouldn't have been any more than 3 or 4 acres. Wasn't a big farm. There were some Australians across the road from where they lived. They didn't have a farm, but they were very good to them. Very, very good. You know, they helped them a lot. And another thing she did mention was when her husband went out to do the shopping, he'd come back with, you know, heaps and heaps of groceries and meat, and she'd say, where did you get all this from? How much did this cost? He said, if you're going to count the pennies like you do back home, you'll never get anywhere. Couldn't believe how much stuff he bought for a small amount of money. She couldn't believe it. It was just total shock to her. But then eventually she got to learn and got used to it. He did all the shopping. He went out and did all the shopping.
And that was because there was a lack of food in Croatia, was it? Was it the abundance?
Well, they had had the war and, you know, it wasn't good. They didn't, you know, if they were a little bit of meat on a Sunday with a little bit of soup. She can remember, she was always pretty sickly when she was little. And somebody said some chook had laid an egg. And they said to her, keep that egg for Lushka, because her mother came from Vela Luka. So because there was 5 Katas in the house, she was named Kata Lushka. And they said, keep that, she needs the egg, she's so poor. You know, she was very poorly in health when she was little. When she came out here, she was never sick. She did get diabetes, but her mother had diabetes. I think it was just a family follow-on.
So you were born?
I was born in 1940.
And you have sisters? Or?
I have one sister. She was born in 44.
And her name?
Frances.
And is Frances still alive?
Yes, yes.
Where does she live?
West Pimble.
So, anything else about Cabramatta that...
No.
Okay, so will we move to...
We moved to here. So actually, on this block of land where we are.
So
it was 20 acres. with an old house on it.
Describe the house for me.
Well, it was only just a little fibro timber cottage. I think it had three bedrooms, a veranda on the front, veranda at the back, a little kitchen, a bit of a lounge room, I suppose you'd call it.
Do you remember who built it?
No, they bought it like that. Yeah, an old couple owned it. An old couple. But two men owned it.
And the land?
When they sold it, they bought it off them.
You don't know who they are?
No, I wouldn't have a clue. Wouldn't have a clue.
How did it look to you, the land? What was this area like? Just reflecting.
Well, when I can remember, we always had tomatoes on the land. You know, they came out here to get new soil and tomatoes.
It's a lot of tomatoes on 20 acres.
Yeah, but they used to grow, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 at a time, you know, maybe in two lots. Winter time they didn't. They grew cabbages or collies. That didn't require, you know, good new soil like the tomatoes did. But they had their good times and they had their bad times.
Do you remember when you say good times, when the prices were good?
Oh, I can't really recall.
Yeah,
can't recall that.
So do you remember what sort of ploughs they... Do you remember ploughs or tractors?
Well, somebody used to come and rotary hoe, but I don't know who it was. But I also can remember when Mr. Trouch, I don't know whether he had a big draft horse and a plough. You know the ploughs they have that you hold in your hand?
Yes.
Well, the horse used to pull that along. And I can remember down the back here, probably about where Peter's igloos are now, where he was ploughing the land. So
that was the mid-40s?
Well, I think it would have been because I was only a little kid. And Mum used to say that I couldn't speak a word of English when I went to school.
So tell me about what sort of person your mother was.
A very pleasant and placid woman. Very patient, very hard-working, very dedicated.
Now, your father died.
He died in 1948, and Mum was left with the farm. Two girls, 1 8 and 1 4, and there was no widow's pension or anything. They told her she had enough land to live on. She could work the land.
Did she work the land?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did for a while. Then she remarried.
And who did she marry?
She married another Croatian, Yugoslav guy. That didn't go off very well. And they divorced. It was a lot of hassle. When I was getting married, actually. And then she stayed for a while on her own. And then another Yugoslav guy came and took her to New Zealand. They married and she didn't have 10 years. She went to her 50th wedding anniversary, which was Jesse Kunjicic's parents. And she said, "You're very lucky, you two." She said, "I couldn't make 30 years with three of them." And that was a big joke. Right, off we go again.
Can you sort of describe what day was like? Like, how would the day start from your memory with your parents?
Well, I think they got up, they had their breakfast and they went on the farm. There was always plenty. When you had tomatoes, you had to prune them, you had to tie them, you had to spray them. We were as kids, you know, when they used to spray them, you used to stand within where they had a big drum, 44-gallon drum, and they mixed the DDT or whatever they had, and you'd have to stand there stirring it, because otherwise all that stuff would go to the bottom and the tomatoes wouldn't benefit from it. And if you got rain, you immediately sprayed your tomatoes after rain. When you pulled them out from under the bags, you know, took the bags off, you had to, you put the sticks in, tomato steaks, and then they'd spray them with this Herola so that the steaks would be, you know, clear free of any germs or from tomatoes from previous years, whatever.
Where did you get your water from, do you remember?
We had water here.
So you had a dam?
No, we had city water. We had city water. Actually, talking about Cabramatta, Mum used to talk about how she used to sit at the meter of a night time because there was a water shortage while they watered the tomatoes. One had watered the tomatoes and one had sit at the meter, and if they saw a car coming, they would turn the meter off because they used to get fined.
You don't remember how much they'd get fined?
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
So how long would a cycle of tomatoes take from start to finish?
Well, it takes 3 months for them to before you get any fruit on them, and then probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Can you recall what types of tomato you grew?
We had a cross Elis and we had a China. A China was the one that they put in round about August under bags, because that came pretty quickly. And then probably about November they would plant the cross Elis, or maybe a little bit earlier, I'm not sure. They were the two types.
How long did you grow tomatoes for?
Oh, well, when my mother remarried again, we still grew tomatoes.
Can you remember the trucks arriving and picking? What would happen after you? Talk about after you, you know, from picking, when they're ready to go, would they be green, would they be red?
Oh, no, they'd have to be, in the summertime, you'd have to pick them every day, just about. And you'd pick them semi-coloured because if you pick them too ripe, by the time they got the market next day, they're overripe. And they used to pack them in boxes. They used to have to be packed, not loose like they are now. They had different sizes, 3x3, 3x4, 3x2, the size that fitted in the box. And you'd put a lid on them. That was our kids' jobs. We used to have to put lids on them and a stamp, our name. And then a carrier used to come and pick them up and take them to the market.
Is that fun?
No, nothing was fun. Not for us kids.
So what did you have to do every day as a young one?
What did we have to do? We always had something to do. I mean, we used to play too. You know, if there was no tomatoes, we didn't do much. But there was always something. Like when we were going to school, if I came home from school and there was dishes on the sink, I'd have to wash them up. And my sister used to water. She used to do a lot of watering because that saved, you know, a lot of time. It took up a lot of time, you know, but that was a good thing for either of us to do it. But my sister, she was the one that did it most of the time.
Did you get a sense that there was, like, because the family unit, you're really relying on each other. Did you have that sense of that you all relied on each other, or that you had to pull your weight in the family?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember that far. But I know in the winter time we used to sit in the kitchen and Mum used to show us how to crochet. And you just sit in front of the fire with your hands up, you know, in front of the fire in the kitchen. In the winter time was a lot easier, much easier than the summertime, but the summertime was hard, especially from about November when they'd start picking up until probably the end of January, you know, the tomatoes. And it used to be really hot every day, not like the weather is now. One day it's hot, one day it's cold. Really hot, you know, it used to be 100 degrees, so they had to water all the time, they had to keep the water up.
What did your parents do to relax? Was there a social club, or do you remember what they did?
What did they do? There used to be a dance down at the Trades Hall in the city, the Russian Club, that used to run like Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. I can't recall during the year, and there used to be picnics at Hollywood, which a lot of them used to go to, heaps and heaps of people, sometimes at Clifton Gardens, a couple of times at Palm Beach.
Because the Croatians were on the northern beaches as well, weren't they?
Oh yes, heaps.
You either settled here or there, was that
right? A lot of the, where Mum comes from and my mother and father come from, and where Peter comes from, they were out here, where on the, like Warriwood, they had from different parts of Croatia, you know, all close by, but I think most of them from what they call Blato, the name Blato, the town, a lot of them were around here.
That's right.
A lot of them.
And where are some of those other places? What, name those where they tend to
come? Well, there was a lot of Pelicani. They come, you had to go across the water to them. Oh dear. I can't think of the names at the moment.
Yeah, that's okay. So, what happened here locally for them? There was the... Do you remember when the Croatian club opened?
Well, old Colombo Perich had some boccia at his place there on the corner of 4th Avenue and Bringelly Road, you know where the strawberries are, Zingini strawberries? There. That house still stands. And then they had the place across the road and they used to play boccia there for a while. Then they moved here onto our property. My father gave them a bit of land. But I don't know where the Perriches sold that and they moved up on the hill. You don't know where they were. No, the house is still standing up there.
Whereabouts? Can you name the streets?
I think it's 26th Avenue. It's up the top.
You might take me for a drive one day. We'll take some photos of them, the houses. Oh, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, that's all right.
Talk about the Boccia Club. So, tell me about when it was here. Do you know what
Well, it was a tin shed. And I think you can see in those photos that's up the club and the ones I showed you, they're in front of a tin shed. And then they fixed it up a bit and made it a bit larger. And originally that part that's up there now, that was moved. And then they added that extra on the, like, they had like it was just a cover at first. And not long ago, Peter and a few of them, they closed it in because they were complaining the birds were making a mess and sitting up on the pipes, you know. And they closed it in and now they're laughing.
So what are your sort of earliest memories of the Boccia Club? Do you have any memories?
They used to cook the pigs on a spit. I know that. I can remember that. And that used to be a couple of times a year. And people used to come from Warriwood and Blacktown.
And you were all farmers?
Oh, yeah, everybody was farming. Everybody. Nearly everybody. Yeah. I think the only people that... They used to run a newspaper, Na Predak. And that was run by Wiskic, Kovacevic and Banovic. But they weren't farmers. They were... I don't know what they were. They used to run a paper. And you used to get it, I don't know, every month. I can remember it coming out.
So let's talk about your memories. You were born here. You went to school. Where did you go to school?
I went to Austral School, which there was only 3 classrooms. I don't think any of them stand now. They used to keep one there, I think the original one, but then I think that's been pulled down.
What year did you start school?
Well, I must have started 45.
Do you remember the war? Do you remember anything about the war?
I can remember something, but not very much. I remember when the king died, I was at school, and I can remember everybody saying, you know, we're not going to... God save our king. It had to be God save the queen, you know, that... I can remember that very clearly. You know, it was a great big thing. The king passed away. That's very clear in my mind. were in the playground at school when that happened. I used to hate holidays. I hated holidays, school holidays. I never liked them at all.
What was that?
Well, because we always had to, we had to work. Well, there wasn't enough to do. Like in the winter time, although there was only three breaks then, there was three terms. So.
What do you remember about the school? Was it up and where it is?
Still there. Yeah,
some of your friends' names or?
Oh, yes. I've got Wavell Cooper, Sister Daphne, there was the Millses, there was the Sereviches, there's Beox, Trouches, Fishers. There was quite a few. I don't know how many we had there. We had three classrooms. We had three rooms, but I can't tell you whether some of the kids at school were in my class because they had about three classes in one room, so I don't really know whether they were the same age as me in the same class. I can't tell you that. There was no heaters, no air conditioning.
Tell me what your classroom was like. How did it look?
Nothing like they do today. It was just, you know, bare. Maybe an odd picture or something. No, nothing like all that fancy work the, especially the primary kids have. You know how they have all their paintings stuck on the wall, hanging on string or hanging on the walls and all decorative. I don't remember any of that.
Did you take your lunch or did they feed you? Oh, no.
We had to take our own lunch to school. And quite often, the kids used to like the salami sandwiches, and I used to swap for a peanut butter. They'd really enjoyed the salamis and that, you know, mortadellas, what Mum used to put on our sandwich. Till we got older, we used to make our own. We used to make tomato and cucumber. We always had some cucumbers growing in the summertime. And
how else did you source your food? Did you barter with other farms, like?
No.
Give you things?
Oh, well, yes, if you had
tomatoes.
Well, you gave the Australians tomatoes, you know, people like that. If anybody come to do something, or you'd give them a few tomatoes. If there was people from the city that came to visit and they weren't on a farm, you always gave them tomatoes. This lady actually that made my parents change my name, they used to come and visit us quite often. They lived at Arncliffe. They had a fish shop. They lived down here at first, and then they moved to Arncliffe. They used to take home a lot of stuff. They used to bring us a fish or two nice fish, you know, when they'd come out on a Sunday. They had the train station near them at Rockdale. And then there was a bus that used to come out here at 10:30 in the morning. They'd be on that. We'd have lunch and they'd always take back red cabbage, cauliflower, tomatoes. They were good, yeah, very good.
Do you remember horse and carts going down? Was this a main road, Bridgelly Road?
Yes, it wasn't sealed when I came out here, so Mum tells me. It wasn't sealed. The only horse and cart I can remember is the Lady Bull. What was her name? Mrs. Bull. She had a... She used to go up and down the main street in a horse and cart in Liverpool. That's the only horse and cart I remember. I can't remember any horse and cart out here.
So the first car, you remember the cars you drove?
I don't know, but my father bought a car and he would have been the first car in Cabramatta with the Yugoslav community. And they laughed at him. And he bought a fridge, electric fridge too. And they thought, you know, he was mad. Because they used to get ice. So,
that's, so he was quite generous, really.
He was very young. Yeah, I think we would have been millionaires by now had he have lived, because he knew how to work. He was a very hard worker. He knew how to, look after his family.
He was a good businessman by the sounds of it.
Well, I'd say so. He was very good in mathematics, Mum used to say. And we say our John takes after him because he was good in mathematics.
So let's talk about your life a bit more. So school, primary school was...
Primary school.
How did you get to school?
Sometimes we'd walk.
Sometimes. Which way did you go? Tell me how you walked to school, where you went.
Well, we walked up the road here, up to Edmondson Avenue and along Edmondson Avenue. Sometimes we'd ride a bike. We did ride bikes. And there used to be a bus at 8:30. And it used to go up that way for many, many years. And then at 3:15, it used to come back. But because we didn't get out till 3:30, sometimes the teachers used to let us catch the bus home, but sometimes the bus had come and she wouldn't even see the bus.
And how big were the farms? Like when you walked to school, did you cross farms or what did you do? You walked on the road?
We walked on the road. We just walked on the road.
And how big were the farms? Like different to today, weren't it?
Well, I could count the houses that were there. First of all, going on Edmondson Avenue was Saparovich. That house still stands. And then they built the one next to it. Then there was a little down on the corner of 6th Avenue. There's a little garage type thing. Do you know where that is? That was there. And then Holcomb's house was up further on the corner of 7th. And then there was Allen's house, and then Dudley's, and then there was no more till you got across the road from the school, which were the Gownses. That was on that side of the road. On this side of the road, there was the little shack standing down here on the corner, and then you went right up to... how far up? I don't think there was hardly any houses on this side of the road.
So it was all just land.
It was all land. Oh yes, it was quite bushy. I don't think they had a lot of bush on this land. I don't think they did, and I don't think they had any on much on that next one, because my father was going to buy that next 20 acres, and the man that was there, he was Croatian. He said to my father, "Ivan, I need some land. Do you need that land?" Because he said, "I'd like to buy it." And he bought it. And he said, "Well, you can have it. There's enough here on this land for me while I'm alive," which it was, because he died not long after. But he finished up with 20 acres there.
So let's talk about this 20 acres. Who lives on these 20? Like, what do you own today? And who lives on these? Because you've got family living on some of it.
Well, yes. Well, young Peter lives down further. See, what happened, when my father died, this was left to my mother, and she never, ever transferred that into her other husband's names. That was always hers. That was always for us. So when she went to New Zealand to live, so that her husband wouldn't take this land off her or fool her, I mean, she lived very well with him. She was quite lucky there. She gave this to us. And what happened, she gave me 5 acres where the house next door is where Bridget Baustini's are, where they got their igloos now, tomatoes and cucumbers. We built that house. And she gave this land here to my sister, which was an old house on it. And it had a bit of rent on, you know, it was collecting a bit of rent. She was nursing at the time. And there were 6 acres, or nearly 7, down where the creek is, which is, you know, it wasn't very good land, and there's quite a lot of bush on it. So she said, "Well, you may as well have that, because it's close to your land." And Frances wasn't married, and she said she's getting rent for the house, so she gave that to me. So when young Peter decided to get married, we gave it to him. So he's got that.
So let's talk about, is that it with the land?
And we bought this off my sister, and then she bought 2 units in Liverpool.
So where did you go to high school? Sorry.
Liverpool Girls High.
You get a bus in there?
Yes, yeah, there was a bus there and back.
So what were you thinking? What was the expectation of you after school? Was it marriage and children?
Oh, yeah, that was the go. I worked on the farm. I never went out to work.
Did you socialise?
Yeah, with the Yugoslav community.
So you didn't socialise outside of that community?
No, no. That was unheard of.
Why is that? Just how it happened?
I think it's just how it happens. Yeah. I think that's the way it is. I just think it was really the way it is. And they probably thought, you know, Australians are different. And now the Croatians are like the Australians. Just go off, that's it.
So you finished school in what year?
Oh, 54. I went to second year.
And how did you meet Peter?
Oh, how did I meet Peter? Let me think. He came to Australia and he was visiting. He was staying with his sister and he was visiting different people. And he came up to see us because his sister was sponsored confirmation for my sister. And she said, come up and we'll see them, and that's how we met. I was sick actually in bed. Actually, he came up to see my sister and finished up with me. That's how it started, yeah. And then there was quite a lot of drama because, you know, we had a stepfather then and he didn't want me to marry. He was going to bring some nephews out, apparently, and unknowns to me, and work on the farm while he had a good life. So that was that story.
So I was thinking about something and I just forgot it. So Peter, you were attracted to Peter?
Yeah.
When were you married? How soon did you marry?
Oh, about 12 months later. Yeah, at All Saints in Liverpool. But they've knocked that down. That's where Westfield is. Yeah, they've knocked that church down.
And how many children do you have? What are their full names?
Three. Oh, I've got Patricia Jane, Spinati, she's a Spinati now, and John, he's married Roslyn. And young Peter, he's got a Patricia.
So your daughter married an Italian?
Yes. He was born here, though.
And they grew up around here?
Yes, yes.
I went to school with some Spinatis.
Which
Lucy's
one?
Lucy
Nardi?
And Anna.
Oh, yeah.
And Anna Spinati. Anyway, I think they lived up there out here somewhere.
Did they live at Moorbank? Lucy? Lucy?
I don't know where Lucy lived. They were cousins, Lucy and Anna. Anyway.
Well, Anna Spinati.
Mm. She was my age, so I don't know.
She lived up on the highway there, opposite what used to be Kookaburra Road.
Yeah, I think that's...
You know that ramp on the house there?
Yeah.
That's where Aldo's mum and dad lived.
That's right. That's the same family.
Did she... But they went to the high school. They didn't go to...
She went to Liverpool Girls High.
Yeah.
I went there in fifth and sixth form.
Oh, right. And Nadia, do you know Nadia? That's her sister. She's the older one.
So you're related to them by marriage?
Well...
Your daughter married.
Well, she's married, yeah. But see, what happened, Nadia, she's older than Anna, she went to school with Trish, and... Trisha was playing netball. We all played netball up at for Leppington because they went to Leppington School. And that's where she met Nadia because she was on the bus, and then Nadia decided to play netball. And, of course, Trisha used to go up to her place, and that's how she met Aldo.
I remember her talking about her brother Aldo and Anna. That's why when you said Aldo, I thought, oh. So you played netball?
Yeah.
What else did you do?
Nothing else. That was after I was married, though. Not beforehand.
So when did you build this house?
In 1978. We moved in, but we were 3 years building it.
Who built it?
Peter with contractors, you know.
And he came out for the snow, to work on the snowy route again.
Well, when he came to Australia, he finished up in Cairns cutting cane, and then he went to the snowy mountains because his sister was up there, and he got a job up there. And he was there, then he came down here and worked for Monier.
And you have a bit to do with the bocce club, don't you? How long has that commitment been?
Oh, it's been quite a few years now, 10, 15 years probably.
Why is that? Why are you...
Well, I think what happened... I think the community people up here at Austral, I don't know whether actually it was through Jane. I think there was another group, and it could have been from Liverpool. They were meeting up here, and a bit by bit they started to come up there, and then I can't exactly tell you the start of it, but then they decided they'd play bingo once a month, because my mother was involved, you know, then, and Mrs. Sutich up there, and all the Ivica, you know, Ivica and Maria Bjork, and then they started, oh, let's play bingo once a fortnight, because that was their outing. I mean, one lady come on Sunday, she could hardly walk, and she said, I just love coming out here. And she comes from Mount Pritchard. You probably know her. Krulich? Yeah. Dushanka. What do they call her, Jessie? Dushanka.
Yes.
Yeah, her son is Max Krulich. You know the football?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I actually want to interview her at some point. But,
yeah. She loves it.
Do they farm, that family?
They used to. They used to live up here on the hill. Share it with another. They lived in the little house. It's gone now. Just, you know where Wally Trouch is, up on the hill, up here? On the, you're going on the left-hand side. Well, there was quite a couple of little cottages on the other side, but Dushanka and this Bulyanbashich, they used to live together for a while and they used to farm. And then they bought their own places, and Dushanka went, I think, to Collaroy. They had a fish shop. That's how it's all been. Dushanka's husband was involved with the club here for many years.
So you got involved with the bingo, but now you're cooking all the time.
Oh, well, we don't cook all the time. We only help the men do the barbecuing. But like Sunday was bingo, so we help get the salad ready or whatever's there. When we're there, we don't go up there when we're not... not on bingos.
At its peak, how many members of the has the Lepton Bocce Club got?
I think they've got over 100 now.
Is that its biggest ever, or?
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. But they have a lot of people come for their functions. People love coming up there when they've got a big function on. Like Good Friday, they had 150, 60 people. They just love it, and they've already booked in for Christmas. And I'm thinking, I wish I could go away. It's a lot of hard work. But, you know, they all enjoy it, they're good. And
where do the people come from? Where are the members? Are they not local anymore? Or?
Well, yeah, no, a lot of them are not local. Where do they come from? Well, I have friends. They come, I ask them to come. I don't ask anybody anymore because it's just getting too much. But yes, that's people bring different friends and they get to know. And my daughters, they were talking about it on Easter. And Aldo's cousin, now that could be who you're talking about, Lucy. Because Lucy and Anna are not sisters, they're
cousins. That's right.
Well, she said she's coming next time, so that could be her.
What date's Christmas?
I don't know.
You have to let me know. I'll bring some of the volunteers, and we can help you. I've had three volunteers then, so.
But it'll be probably early December, about 2 weeks before, 2 to 3 weeks before Christmas.
So how's this area changed? Like, you've seen a lot of change. How can you talk about that change?
I don't know, but I counted the cars when I drove out this morning, and I left here about 9 o'clock, and I counted 15 cars before I could get out, and they were going that way. They weren't going to Liverpool. I mean, that's a lot of cars.
That's right.
And that was 9 o'clock.
I mean, the area is going to transform, isn't it, really? What are your intentions? Are you going to stay?
Where am I going to go?
Yeah, that's right.
Where do I go? Tell me.
Well, you're born and bred here.
That's right. I don't know what's going to happen after this railway line sets in or...
So tell me about, do you remember any serious droughts or floods or any sort of major...
Well, when my son John was born, he was born in 61, we went out towards Camden when they had really, really big floods. And I don't think we've had one since. But I can remember getting off the bus, school bus down here on the corner, and the water was way up over the road. That we had to get out, we didn't take our shoes off, we just had to get out of the bus in the water. So that's how high it used to go. And there used to be a little old house, there was one, two, three little old shacks just down on Browns Road here, and they always used to flood. Always used to flood. And since then, I don't think we've ever had any floods like that.
What about fire?
I can't remember anybody having a big fire.
Drought. Well, there's no drought if there's water, is there?
Well, as a kid, I think we used to have a lot of hot weather in the summertime. When it was summer, it was summer. You know, in the winter time, they used to get a lot of frost, day in and day out. And then for many years, I think that all dwindled out.
So can you talk to me now? I'm just remembering that you worked at Ingham's. And yes. You worked with, like, a lot of the women here worked at Ingham's.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how that came about and... Who
well,
worked with you and what you did?
Well, why we were married, Peter and I were married, and I think I had two kids then. I had Tricia and John because they were close. And we had tomatoes growing. He'd go to work and I'd be... Mum used to help on the farm, you know, growing the tomatoes, and then we didn't seem to make much money on it. So from then on I said, I'll go and get a job at Ingham's, and I got a job at Ingham's. But then I stayed there for about 3.5 years. And then Peter came along, so that was the end, and I've never worked since.
What did you do at Ingham's?
Oh, we used to... I used to take the windpipes out of the chickens.
Can you tell me what did you do? How did they arrive? Come on a conveyor belt?
On a conveyor belt, yeah, on a conveyor belt.
Were they flat or hanging up?
They were hanging up. They were hanging. And... by the time they got to where I was, it was the end of the line. It was just before the inspection. There used to be people taking out the insides, and then you'd have somebody taking out the lungs with a special little scoop thing. And then you'd have somebody... there was somebody working on a giblet machine. And then by the time it got to me, I was on the... windpipe, so that had to come out.
Show me how you did it.
How can I show you? You put your finger in,
yeah.
and you'd pull it, get it, and you'd flick it out. There used to be a cut in it. Somebody used to cut a slit down the line somewhere before it got to me. There used to be a slit.
Be like,
poof. Yeah, but you used it with your finger.
And how many a day would you do?
Oh, I think we used to do 16,000-17,000 a day.
RSI, did you?
Oh, well, you didn't know, but you used to get infected fingers, especially your thumbs, you know, and lots of people used to go on compo for 3 or 4 days because their thumbs used to be sore. You wore gloves, but it was very hard working with gloves because you can't have that feeling.
And how much did you get paid? Do you remember?
I think it was around about 13 or 14 pound a week, and that was very good. That was a butcher's wage. It was a butcher's wage.
Do you remember what the factory looked like? Did Mary Tullidge work with you?
Yes, she worked in the section before me.
Which was?
I don't know whether she used to hang the chickens on them when they were killed. And then they'd go through a plucking machine, they'd be plucked. Yeah, I used to pick her up and drop her off every morning and every afternoon.
Have a bit of a giggle?
Oh, yes, and a bit of a whinge.
Bit of a whinge and a giggle?
But it was good money. It was good money, very good money.
So, how big was the factory? How many of you were there? Did you wear a hairnet and things like
that? Oh, yes, you had to have a hat and you had to have a white uniform. They supplied that, and you had gumboots. You had to work in gumboots. Yes.
And you take all that off at the end of the day and they wash it, would they?
That was yours. And when you left the job, you handed all that back in.
So you were there about 3.5 years.
Mm.
So it was a good employer for you?
Well, it was good. It was close. No hassle, no traffic, nothing.
Do you remember much about Ian starting up? Do you remember any of the big...
I remember where they had their chicken farm before they started the factory. I remember that.
Where was that?
Well, that was there on Currajong Road. You know where Ingham's house is? Yeah, well, just down from there. They had a big house there and chook sheds. Then up a little bit further, I think they had the incubating sheds.
Do you remember some of the bigger farmers? Like, were there bigger farmers and smaller farmers in the area, like in the Croatian community? Were you all pretty much on the same level?
I think they're all on the same level. Yeah, I don't think anybody was... No, I think everybody was much the same level.
And you shared equipment if you needed to borrow?
Oh, if somebody wanted something borrowed, or... Yes. Oh, yes, that was never a hassle.
Do